The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We are back, second hour of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Statmiller, with you on this Wednesday, 20th of December, 2017. And if you don't like the way things turned out in 2017, we can hope and pray for 2018. Getting the take here from Paul Craig Roberts on the Trump speech here, it's pretty damn accurate. He blames Iran for terrorism, something that Iran lives in fear of, but he does not mention Saudi Arabia's support for terrorism, or that the U.S. military security complex, which encourages terrorism as a weapon against Iran and Russia, and as an excuse for its massive budget and power. He claims that the credit for the Russian-Syrian defeat of ISIS, it's been proved that ISIS is supported and financed by Washington. Trump's claim is even more ridiculous than the previous claims of Obama regime that the U.S. defeated Nationalist Socialist Germany. Russia, which did defeat Germany, was not invited to the anniversary celebration. Trump next demands that the countries we defend pay for it. And who are these countries, and who are we defending them from? He can only mean Europe, Canada, Australia, Israel, and Japan. Is Washington defending them from Russia, China, North Korea, and Iran from the terrorist Washington creates? Arms and supplies to overthrow Libya, Syria, and whatever countries Washington is successful sicking terrorists on. Now, apparently some of these CIA-created terrorist organizations break loose from their creator and conduct operations on their own. So Washington is a government that creates its own enemies. Man. Wow. He next brags as the sanctions he has imposed on the North Korean regime. He doesn't mention, and I would bet he does not know, that Washington has withheld a peace treaty since the 1950s from North Korea. Washington has kept the war status open for 64 years. Having seen the fate of Libya, Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, Somalia, etc., etc., little wonder North Korea wants nuclear weapons. Trump, standing there threatening the world, says that Washington will take all necessary steps to prevent North Korea from threatening the world. He then delivered the establishment's propaganda that unemployment is at an all-time low and the stock market at an all-time high. So what is Trump rescuing middle America from if unemployment is an all-time low? What happened to Trump's case against jobs offshoring? This is a nothing but feel-good talk. And he's repeating the lies because the lies make him look good. Now what Trump should be doing is pointing out the meaninglessness of the unemployment rate, because it doesn't count the unemployed, only those who had looked for a job in the last 4 weeks. He should be pointing out that the stock market is not a sign of a growing economy, but a sign of massive money creation by the central banks of the UK, the EU, and the US, and Japan as well. The massive printing of money has flooded into paper assets, driving up their price and further enriching the 1%. Let me stop and digress here for a second. What about the $3 trillion that's needed to rebuild America's infrastructure. Oh, that'll mean jobs. The rose-colored glasses people will tell you, oh, but that will mean jobs. That'll put people to work. They can pay mortgages and pay bills. At the expense of what? Does the government have $3 trillion sitting in a secret account I don't know about that they can just whip out a pen and a check and make that good? No, what they're going to have to do is borrow it. And the juice is running on that borrowed money. We are not a self-encased or self-closed system here, folks. We are on life support. The IVs running into the veins of America is the funny money people keep pumping money into a country that's already bankrupt. Sound banking practices there. What does that give you? A broke America right on the brink of collapse, but it gives them control. Trump says that one leg of the strategy is preserve peace through strength. What peace is he talking about? In the past 2 decades, Washington has destroyed in whole or in part 8 countries and overthrown democratic governments in others. Now, if he's equating peace with Washington's wars, no other country has initiated wars and invasions and bombings and aggressive military actions on other countries' borders. Trump says he also says that America is threatened by enemies, and to protect us, the military will be enlarged. He said he was overturning the defense sequester, something that clearly does not exist. My conclusion? Trump has surrendered to the real rulers of America, the powerful interest groups such as the military and security complex. Notice I didn't say military-industrial complex, just military and security complex, because you know what? We need to defend off of that which we are ourselves creating. The powerful interest groups that have also won, the Israeli lobby, the environmental polluters, Wall Street, and the banks, too big to fail. America is a country in which, despite the hopes flyover America had in Trump, an oligarchy rules. The American people, regardless of who they elect, have no choice, no input, no representation. By the way, I think I said this yesterday, the last balanced budget that we had in this country was attributed to Bill Clinton. But you know how he balanced the budget? He stole it from Social Security. So here I was yesterday talking about, the one thing that, Bill Clinton can claim, he balanced the budget once. Well, he did that at the expense of the Social Security funds. Wow. Robbing Peter to pay Paul. It's nothing but a big shell game, folks. Nope, not under that nutshell. Nope, you missed it there. You don't know where it is. And that's the way they want it. I am just absolutely fascinated. 800-313-9443 is the call-in number. What happened to Bitcoin today? Did it go down 20%, Mikey? and folks, I'm here to say to you, I've considered this a lot. You think Bitcoin is going to continue as the government itself and the banks themselves push for digital currencies? You know, I mean, running a Treasury Department and the minting and the printing and the all this stuff, and to have these banks that have to carry the cash and dispense that, and the ATM, all this is, it's unnecessary. We can just go digital. And I do believe that's what cryptocurrencies are designed to do, is to pave and soften the way for digital currency. Your money somewhere is in cyberspace somewhere. It may be real if you need to pay a real bill, but maybe it's not going to be there. Folks, I smell something very bad here. On the issue of I don't think that Judge Roy Moore is going to get a recount because a lot of the records have been destroyed. And I watched a report on One America News today that the propaganda about him being a child molester, most of the Republicans in Alabama stayed home and did not get out to vote. Wow. Hope you all are happy with the new senator from Alabama that you have now. Why would you destroy hard drives? How much does it cost to keep them around? And the only reason you would do this if you were committing fraud, period. According to TechCrunch, following an 11th-hour order instructing voting officials in Alabama to keep the digital ballots generated in Tuesday's controversial Senate election, the state Supreme Court has issued a stay to block that decision. The order to preserve the records was issued by the Montgomery County Circuit Court on Monday, less than 24 hours before voting was set to begin, and the stay that will effectively nullify that order was issued late on Monday night. All counties employing digital ballot scanners in the December 12, 2017 election are hereby ordered to set their voting machines to save all processed images in order to preserve all digital ballot images. That's what the Montgomery County order stated. Alabama Secretary of State John Merrill and Alabama State Election Administrator Ed Packard are named as defendants in the suit, which was brought before the Montgomery County Court by four Alabama voters. Initially filed on Thursday of last week, it cited the state-level election system hacking and that the Department of Homeland Security notified 21 states, including Alabama, of this September in arguing that the state should hold on to the digital records of votes for at least 6 months rather than destroying them. As AL.com reports, the state is required to keep the paper ballots that are digitized to tabulate the vote. Priscilla Duncan, the attorney who represented the four Alabama voters named in this case, argued that while those paper ballots are kept for 22 months, the paper ballots aren't really what's counted, and only an unlikely statewide recount would consult the paper ballots. Now, a full hearing for this case is set for December 21st, but the state has a green light to continue destroying its digital voting records until that time. Yeah, and how long is it going to take to delete those files? 6 minutes? This is a hoax. And the only way a court would order records destroyed if there had been fraud. What we do need is a paper ballot recount. And how many times have you heard me say this, folks? How many times? You cast a vote, you get a receipt for your vote. End of story. And I have used ATMs hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times over the years. And not once did I ever fail to get a paper receipt. Not once. Well, Roy Moore is calling for a recount. However, people are claiming he can't get one. Roy Moore hinted at the possibility of a recount in Alabama's special election held on Tuesday, just moments after the press called the race for Democratic opponent Doug Jones. Moore claimed that the close race could lead to a reconsideration of the result. Realize that when the vote is this close, that it's not over, he said. We also know that God is always in control. Careful with that, Mr. Moore. You saying then God doesn't want you to be senator? Now, at the stroke of midnight, Jones had 671,151 votes and a 49.9% share of the vote, while Moore had 650,436 votes and 48.4% share. Mr. Moore's claim is based on the Alabama law that a result within 0.5% of the vote is enough to trigger an automatic recount. There are still military ballots that need to be counted. And I never understood this. How the hell can you declare anything and give a valid vote count when all the votes aren't counted? How is that possible? Now, there's a few reasons why a recount is almost certainly off the table. The first one is that the final result probably won't meet the automatic threshold. As the Washington Post reports that as of May 2016, there is only around 8,700 Alabamans serving in the military, and that's not enough to swing the election. Another suggested tactic is more pay for the recount himself, a sum he would be refunded if he won. That's probably a bad idea. Alabama's Secretary of State told CNN that a recent recount in the gubernatorial runoff, won by just 160 votes, didn't change more than 3 or 4 votes in the end. Now, it's not clear that Moore could even pay for his own recount, though. Legal scholar Rick Hansen from the University of California Irvine School of Law said in a Tuesday blog post that Section 17-16-21, the law that governs how recounts are handled, only seems to cover state elections. Hansen speculates that this is because a recount would be handled by Congress instead. Now, you can ask the U.S. Senate to conduct some kind of contest, but good luck with that. Good luck indeed. Charlie in Los Angeles. Hello, Charlie.
Hello, John.
Hi.
I just want to quickly talk about two items, and then I'll get off the line. Trains and tax cuts. First of all, there was a head-on collision in California a few years ago where both crews died and a couple of passengers. And it came out that the guy was texting when he went by the red light to warn him that he had to change tracks. Now, who knows what happened on that train? Was it in Alabama? Whoever it was. But if I had to make a bet,
you mean Washington?
Might have had something to do with it.
You mean Washington? The passenger train?
Yeah, Washington, yeah.
Okay. All
yeah.
Right.
So we know that the head-on collision in California a couple of years ago was from texting. Bob was just willing to bet that has something to do with not paying attention to your job. The tax cut, just think what would happen if the American people got the tax cut that the corporations got. Now, the corporations are multinational. They are not American corporations anymore. They're based all over the globe. But what we got was a sliver of meat, maybe a bone. But those tax cuts that the corporations are cash rich. So I don't, you know, Trump, you guys like Trump, okay, you like Trump, but he is working for big business, and what we're getting is going to be fleeting. Those brackets are going to creep up over the next few years, and you won't have your state and local anymore. Reagan got rid of your interest on your credit cards. And I don't know what Bush did to us. I didn't follow that very close, but... You know, just think what would happen if we got those tax cuts and how well off everybody else would be.
Yeah, and I think the cap, the most that they can charge an individual is 37%. And the corporate tax structure before this overhaul, quote-unquote overhaul, they were paying 35%, and now they're going to be paying 21%.
Haven't given raises to people in years.
I know, and this is part of the problem. You know, that little inflation thing out there that they said that, oh, inflation is in check. No, it isn't. It's the this is the devaluation of the currency as a whole. And I can't see, Charlie, how it can go any lower than it's than right now. I mean, it's lost 98% of its purchasing power. You got 2% of a dead dollar bill left.
Yeah, you guys are right about that.
And we're right about the unemployment rate in this country as well. You know, and I am sick and tired of the statist out there to make everybody feel good that unemployment's around 4%. Unemployment in this country has never been at 4% in the best of times because the banks don't want it that way. It heats up the economy too much when there's full employment, too much money floating around chasing too few of goods. It ain't good for their funny money system. They're comfortable at 5%. Alan Greenspan said that himself. We're comfortable with 5% unemployment because that's kind of a check and balance against the economy overheating, I think they used to use the term. Charlie, I appreciate your call.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. Yeah. What would happen if tomorrow all of a sudden the news media is in this country recognize that, wait a minute, there's still 95 million people in this country out of work? What do you think that would do to the stock market? If they come out and admitted 1/3 of the population of this country is unemployed, you think the illusion might start to evaporate? And that's all that's propping this up, is the illusion. And, of course, the conveniently placed lies on how well the economy is doing and so many millions of people are going back to work. Poppycock. Frank in North Carolina. Hello, Frank.
Hey, John. Two quick observations, one on the Bitcoin cryptocurrencies, and then the first thing. You know, I caught a glimpse on television today of the Republicans out there, you know, basically doing the little victory march, and they're all smiling. You see Mitch McConnell. You see all these people that we know are total traitors and creeps, and they're all smiling. And you see the Vice President Pence. He's got this you know what grin on his face, and even I understand that little John McCain signed off on this and voted for it in the 11th hour. And I'm just thinking, you know, this can't be good for us if all these guys are smiling.
Yep.
I'd love to see which Democrats voted for it as well, but time will tell. But I don't have a good feeling about it. I think it's going to be business as usual. It's the little guy, you know, middle class America is going to get screwed over, and somehow the big shots, the top 1%, you know, and Trump's buddies are going to benefit from this.
Well, you know, corporate America is, and the thinking behind this, Frank, and I understand from this viewpoint that if a company is overregulated, and look how much the regulations cost American companies. Now, without getting into an argument about, you know, pollution and this, that, and the other, and blah, 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 you know, I get all that. What I always felt was corporations and businesses, companies, that they be held liable if they damage the environment. That should be enough to know that if you continue doing something once it's discovered and it's brought to your attention, you do nothing about it, and you're going to be told that you will either clean this up or you'll shut down any future profits you might have coming in. It's all going to disappear. Go explain that to your shareholders, that the accountability individually of whatever XYZ company or corporation, that's tantamount. But if you look at it from their perspective, if they can go and do business with less regulatory headaches, if they can go do business and pay less taxes, now some of that argument, Frank's, burned up when you realize that these companies and corporations hire the best attorneys that they can find to find every single loophole. I don't think that any company in or corporation in this country ever paid a full 35% of their gross over a year's period. I just don't think that that ever happened. But having said that, if the road is clear for companies to come back to America, especially if they're American companies, to come back into this country, modernize, do what they need to do, put people back to work, yippee hooray for us. If then, in fact, that is enough of an incentive. Notice how quickly, Frank, this penalty phase of Trump's plan to bring jobs back to America up and disappeared like a fart in a Texas windstorm. And we get some pretty good windstorms down here. You know, that they'd be taxed. There'd be an automatic tax. Didn't he say of Ford motor vehicles? You know, you'll pay a 35% tax importing those vehicles back into the country. Notice how that's up and disappeared. So what true incentive do these companies have?
Yeah, some of the details that I heard, I was in favor of them. I said, okay, I like that. And I heard Roger Stone today, I think his analysis was this is going to, or someone, it might have been someone else, so scratch that. This was going to not change anything for the really big corporations. Maybe some of the mid-level corporations and small businesses, it may induce them to do business in America and you know, leave more of their base manufacturing or whatever in America. The other thing real quick, I was listening to a program the other night and found out, you know, Gerald Celente was being introduced. And I was getting ready to cut it off because I just really wasn't interested in listening to it. But you know, they said he was going to give a heads up, kind of a glimpse into what the the new trends were going to be for 2018. Right. So I said, well, this might be interesting. But anyway, the reason I bring it up is because he was really, and it kind of surprised me, because I'm like you. I'm very skeptical of cryptocurrency, and I smell a rat. I think there's something behind it. I think this is just the way that they can ease it in and get people comfortable with it. But he was really advocating for cryptocurrency and doing away with cash. And
you know what?
I don't know.
And Frank, what is wrong with that? I was talking to an individual today, and I said, you know what's going to happen here? Now, by and large, Bitcoin or other cryptocurrencies are not regulated by the government. Okay, now they have a problem. They've just passed this whopping tax plan that they claim is better than the revamp of 1986, which I don't see how that's at all possible. In order to reap the benefits of those cuts, to qualify, you need to do what? You need to file taxes. Half of this country does not file taxes right now, and I see no incentive for them to run to their local IRS office to say, here, I give up. I'm here. I want to pay my taxes, and I want to get the benefit off of the taxes that I haven't been paying, basically what that boils down to. You know, I just look at this thing, and anybody that is advocating for democracy or anything but cold, hard cash backed by, and this really astounds me as well, commodity. Well, your money used to be backed by a commodity. That was gold and silver. It wasn't a commodity until we fired up the Industrial Revolution and discovered that we could use gold and silver for other things. That's when it became a commodity for the open market. We're going back 5,000-6,000 years where it wasn't a commodity, it was money. And the value was set and it kept people honest. What do we have today? Now we're going to slide this into cryptocurrency, and guess what you don't get to see, Frank? You don't even have the luxury of holding a check in your hand. You don't have the luxury of touching any of your quote-unquote money. And don't you think the government's going to be right on top of this to take out its fair share of taxes for the IRS, your FICA, your Social Security, this tax, that tax, whatever tax? It's going to put you right in the view scope of the federal government to go in there and pick and choose and cherry pick your money even before you see the digital amount in your account. I find this highly disturbing. Frank, anything else?
Well, I think most families, you know, I heard Trump saying, you know, this is going to mean an extra $1,000, for a family of four or whatever. And I'm thinking, I would imagine with all the debt out there, most people are just going to pay off some debt with that extra $1,000.
Well, and pay off some debt. People are strangling in debt. They still are. They still have the credit card debt. They still have the student loans. They still have the mortgages with a job, probably, that they've changed jobs and they're working two jobs. They're flat out of energy. They're flat out of time. They have no life anymore trying to keep up paying bills. And Frank, when you let your mind wander on this one, how many people's lives were destroyed because these investment bankers wanted to start playing around with this mortgage-backed security and this little tweak over here, you know, trying to maximize their profits, and it kills half of the country's economies around the world? Think about the people that this has destroyed. Think about the marriages. Think about the suicides that have happened. Think about the families breaking apart. Folks, when you get divorced, guess what you lose? You lose half your family. You know, whether you like the in-laws or not, that's just a basic fact. This is destroyed. It's been the destroyer of people and nations. And Frank, we still sit here, and who do we still see sitting in the catbird seat? The very people that brought us this destruction in the first damn place. I thank you for your call, sir.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Sorry about the long bump, folks, but that's what happens when your computer blows up on you and you got to reboot.
U.S. Bureau of Land Management corruption involved in the Bundy trial exposed? We have that posted on the website, folks. I highly suggest you read this. And this comes from that Larry C. Wooten, special agent. He's the big-time whistleblower that pretty much, I think, got this case, well, this round of it, thrown out of court. The implications of this is huge, and the damn government knows it. Because that initial question of who owns what is really at the heart of all of this. Something has come to light that numerous agencies held mass casualty incident drills on the same day of the Amtrak derailment. Now, I read Mike Adams over on his website, and there was a lot of speculation thrown in there. But as we've seen in false flags before, well, what happens? Yeah, we have terrorist incidents. It's good for their cover. Mike? Okay. I guess I was just reading a note here. Mike Rivero is going to be out for the rest of the week. He's going to try to come back Friday. All right. We'll see how that works out. Sorry, folks. Dealing with a computer that does not want to cooperate today. A long time ago, I quit printing stories out. That's what I used to do, just in case something like this happened. Got to be rather expensive. Yeah, on the crypto crackdown, and I've been talking about this. You know, do you think the United States government or any government around the world is going to leave a currency that they can't control or look at? Well, crypto crackdown begins. Bank threatens to close customer account because of Coinbase purchases. They say it's against their policies and will be need to be discontinued immediately. Now, it appears that the cryptocurrency crackdown by financial institutions may have just started. As months of mixed signals from governments around the world regarding regulation, Lakestone Bank and trust customer Jordan Spencer took to Facebook to post a letter he received on December 14th threatening to close his account for a policy violation. What violation? According to the letter, Spencer has been utilizing the widely popular Coinbase website to make cryptocurrency purchases and deposits tied to his personal bank account. This, says loss prevention officer Louise Vermillion, is a policy violation that needs to be discontinued immediately. And I'm looking at the actual copy of the letter that was sent to Jordan B. Spencer. Dear Jordan B. Spencer, we are happy to have you as a Lakestone Bank and Trust customer and would like to fulfill your banking needs, but it has come to our attention that you are making purchases and receiving funds from Coinbase.com, a type of business transaction that is against Lakestone's policies and will need to be discontinued immediately. We will continue to monitor your account, and if we see these types of transactions continue, we will be forced to take other action, up to and including closing the account. Louise Vermillion, AVP, Loss Prevention Officer. Apparently, as is often the case with governments and banks, they're the only ones that know what you should be doing with your own money. And they'll shut down your account if that's what it takes to make sure you're protected. I don't doubt for a second, folks. I mean, think about this. The very people that are building the global union, if you will, are going to allow people to do business outside of their realm. This funny money scenario, this thing that they have built, think about it. They are not going to let this continue. They can't. And I do believe they will not. 800-313-9443. I think everybody is in the pre-holiday spirit of shutting down and tuning off. I was talking with a friend of mine today, and he says, you know, he says, people get burned out after a while. And I told him, I said, people have been amazed. You know, John, how the hell can you do this for 25 years? What has kept your stuff together? Well, I, to be honest with you, folks, just the conviction that once you set out to do something, you see it to its completion. That's the only thing I can think of. Short of that, I don't know what to tell you. You know, my duty and obligation to my country doesn't stop with voting and paying taxes. Like everybody else is told, that's what it means to be an American. You consumers, you taxpayers out there. And you wonder why the government keeps referring to you as such? Because to them, that's all you actually are. You're just an account. That's all. Mikey, go get me the fire axe. I'm going to chop this computer into a million pieces. Well, they passed the tax bill. Remember, Republican members of Commerce, I'm sorry, did I say Commerce? Oh, I meant Congress, are racing to pass the tax reform bill so they can get on, just get home in time for Christmas. And it looks like it happened. The key is the Senate. Michael Snyder says, as I've stated previously, I would have voted for this bill, but nobody should pretend that this fixes our tax system. The tax code is still going to be more than 2 million words long. And Americans are still going to spend billions of hours and tens of billions of dollars complying with the most complicated tax system on the entire planet. You ever ask yourself the question, folks, as to why? When something as simple as a flat tax, that idea had been floated many times. Very simple, you make X number of dollars, this is what you owe the government. Done and over with. As a matter of fact, you could file with a 3x5 file card. Easy peasy, Japanesey. Done and over with. But that's not what they choose to do. They give you the revamp of the 1986 revamp tax codes, but it's still 7 million words long. Does that sound like efficiency in government to you? You got to be a lawyer or a tax accountant to understand this thing? Quite possibly. Mikey, I'm having a hell of a time in here. Mikey, go give me that damn fire axe. This is amazing. I can tell you who's not listening to the show today because I haven't gotten any text. Oh, boy. Oh, this is pretty useless. Wow. This is a whole lot of fun. All right, computer. All right. And guess what I did? I just kicked the computer and it's not working. No, it's not. No. Mikey, get in here and fix this damn thing. Oh,
Oh, shut up with your Windows Explorer. Oh, God. Yeah, you can play some bump or do something here. With dead air. This is what you're not supposed to do on radio. Play me a tune and get your butt in here. Get in here! Do you know how much I hate jazz? Do you know how much I really, really hate jazz? And you just had to play that. And my message from Tom reads, I'm here, you just have to rub the microphone and the genie will appear. Now, we found the process that was locking up the computer. What was that, 1.5 million what? Kilobytes? There was something in there was just kept running and... Yeah, yeah, Internet Explorer. Oh, shut up. Well, a little bit more information here. FedCoin doesn't even exist yet, and yet the Washington Post is already hyping it as the primary cryptocurrency they'll be using in the future. Uh-oh. Do they know something that we don't know? Just a few days ago, they warned that the global central banks could eventually try to take control of the cryptocurrency phenomenon. And so I was deeply alarmed to see the Post publish this sort of an article. I'm telling you. This is their next move. The banker's plan? Many times you have heard me ask this. What is the banker's plan B? What are they going to do next? I think we're starting to get an indication. And let me see if there's anything else worth reporting today. Sorry about this, folks. I've never been this locked up before. And then my guy plays jazz. Yeah, I'm sure that'd make Jeff Bennett happy, but it sure as hell doesn't make me happy. You know, anytime I hear jazz, well, what I hear is just a bunch of jumbled stuff. That it's kind of got a rhythm, it's kind of got a phrase to it, but then again, it doesn't. It's like how I see most people's minds being wired. It just, it's got a connection, but it really doesn't. All right, might as well do this. Here's one of the year's-ending conspiracy theories. They say it's confirmed
Mass casualty incident drills on the same day as Amtrak derailment. DuPont, Washington, and what can be described as yet another in a long line of extremely strange coincidences, numerous agencies were preparing to conduct training for mass casualty incident with DuPont City Mayor Mike Kortz at the same time that an Amtrak train derailed and killed three people, according to early reports on the incident by local ABC affiliates. The mayor tells me, ironically, today they were doing training for mass casualty incident and that he was here along with many other agencies planning their day when the situation and news developed. Here is an ABC report.
The mayor tells me, ironically, today they were doing training for a mass incident, mass casualty incident, and that he was here along with many other agencies planning their day when this situation and this news developed. So.
Those stories, these amazing stories of survival and witnesses who went through this train derailment as those cars were derailing off the tracks, some of them falling onto Interstate 5 or into the woods off to the side that you see right there. 13 cars jumped the tracks on this 14-car train. Two of them were engines. We're once again hearing all these different stories from witnesses, amazing stories of survival, people trying to help complete strangers, people that were on Interstate 5 at the time of the derailment in the northbound and southbound lanes, witnessing this train going off the tracks, getting out of their cars, running to that accident scene to try to help as many people as possible. Those first responders getting out there as fast as they could. The good news, the DuPont mayor saying that their city hall was going through a first responding mass casualty training situation when this happened. So they were ready to go once they got the call.
All right, we know that Amtrak is a popular way to travel, as are trains. So just in case you had plans to travel on Amtrak, we're hearing from them, like, what do passengers with reservations need to know?
So many friends and family wondering about their loved ones. Well, we are here at DuPont City Hall, and I can tell you that on those buses there are a lot of the survivors from the train derailment that are getting ready to head home. One of those people that I talked to was Anthony Remedi. He was is from Gig Harbor. He bought a round-trip inaugural...
All right, I'm not interested to hear a passenger on a plane that has no clues what the hell happened to him. Now, oddly, similar situations played out during the September 11, 2001 World Trade Center attacks. On July 7, 2007, the London subway bombings and the Paris theater attack on November 13, 2015, which all saw training drills taking place virtually simultaneously to the real-life event for which they were training. Remember the Boston bombing, folks? Same thing. On that exact same street at the exact same time, they were doing drills. Now, the exact nature of the drill was simulated mass shooting attack, according to Dr. Matthew Rao, emergency room chief at a hospital in Paris. This is during the Paris attack, 158 dead. Now, during Friday's exercise, trauma specialists used a centralized dispatch system to set priorities and direct victims to the ER best equipped to treat their injuries. Ambulance services made sure that they were ready to roll, and hospitals verified that surgeons and staff could be quickly summoned to treat arriving victims. We tested every link in the chain, Raoul said, because Paris emergency physicians worked 24-hour shifts. Virtually every ER doctor on duty in the city Friday night had already taken part in the exercise earlier that day. Isn't that convenient? Now, while this Paris area emergency crew had regularly practiced emergency exercise since the attacks of Charlie Hebdo in January, in which 16 people were killed, the fact that the simulated emergency exercise and the actual events in Paris virtually mirrored one another raise intriguing questions. During the 9/11 attacks on the U.S., North American Aerospace Defense Command's NORAD was in the midst of a training exercise called Vigilant Guardian, which coincidentally simulated planes being hijacked by terrorists. A story in Aviation Week made clear the connection between 9/11 attacks and the NORAD drills taking place at virtually the same moment. At 8:40 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, Tech Sergeant Jeremy Powell of North American Aerospace Defense Command's Northeast Air Defense Sector in Rome, New York, took the first call from the Boston Center. He notified Needs Commander Colonel Robert K. Marr, Jr., of possible hijacked airliner American Airlines Flight 11. Parts of the exercise? The colonel wondered. No, this is the real-world events, and he was told just that. Several days into the semi-annual exercise known as Vigilant Guardian, NEADS, which again is the Northeast Air Defense Sector, was fully staffed, its key officers and enlisted supervisors already manning Operations Center. They called it Battle Cab. In retrospect, the exercise would prove to be serendipitous enabler of a rapid military response to terrorist attacks on September 11th. And the senior officers involved in Vigilant Guardian, were manning NORAD command centers throughout the U.S. and Canada, available to make immediate decisions. Now, as if these training events weren't strange enough, coincidence, the London subway attacks on July 7, 2005, also encompassed drills happening only days prior to the terrorist attack. The Daily Mail at the time reported police completed a terror training exercise which envisioned an attack on London's transport network just days before the 7/7 atrocity. During the tabletop drill, officers were asked to respond to imaginary bombings at Waterloo, Embankment, and St. James Park underground stations. There was absolutely no intelligence at the time to suggest an attack was imminent, the hearing was told. Christopher Coltart, barrister for some of the bereaved families, told the inquest that Hanover exercise, which took place on July 1st and July 2nd, 2005, and involved officers from the Met's anti-terror branch, had at its core an attack on the underground, and asked if it was just simply a coincidence as it took place just days before. Mr. Allison replied, "That's entirely correct." Now, while coincidences do happen, folks, the odds of these drills being run in such close proximity to the actual events being trained for seems remote. And it begs the question as to whether these drills seemingly predicting actual events is truly a coincidence or perhaps an indication of something else. While it's commonly known, the fact that the CIA uses foreign terror groups to destabilize governments targeted by the United States, a much lesser-known fact is that numerous whistleblowers have come forward to claim that U.S. intelligence services not only use terrorism to achieve foreign policy goals, but to actually create domestic terror incidents to blind the masses. Wow. That'll do it for us today. We're out of time. Back tomorrow with another edition of the National Intel Report. I will see you tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for being here tonight. We must take America back. We must take America back.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.